Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Our gospel lesson for this morning comes from John, the 17th chapter. After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you. They have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, as we are one." Here ends our gospel lesson. Please be seated. In these weird times, these new normals, unfortunately, my family was planning to come to church this morning, and then Freya was showing signs of a sore throat, so we thought best that she stay home. Hopefully it's not too serious, but these are kind of the realities we're living with. So, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus prayed, "I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory I had in your presence before the world existed." This is verses 4 and 5 from our gospel reading today. Jesus was sent among us with a mission. He was sent here to bring the kingdom of God with him, to dwell among us, and to be the presence of God in our world. As he lived out this mission, he glorified God and brought honor to the Almighty by living and serving on earth. In turn, he was exalted and glorified by God the Father who had sent him to us in the first place. Well, as we think about how Jesus glorified God the Father on earth, it is good to stop and pay attention to a couple of things in these verses. First, it's not totally clear in English, but the Greek words used in the verses for earth and world, or translated that way in our translation, are two different words that have distinct meanings. The Greek word for earth, ge or geis, is typically used to describe soil and the physical planet earth beneath our feet. When you see geis written in Greek, you know the writer is talking about the physical, material world of soil and water, plants and animals, and basically everywhere that you can walk and hike, bike or drive. The Greek word used for world, on the other hand, is cosmos. Anybody heard that one before? The cosmos, right? We use it in English all the time. And though cosmos can be used to refer to the planet Earth, kind of in a similar way as geis, it is more often used, and especially in the Bible, to refer to kind of a wider sense of the world and even the entire universe. The cosmos can include not only things on Earth, but also stars and meteors and asteroids, black holes and comets. Of course, they wouldn't have known about black holes back then, but I'm sure some Greek was thinking about black holes. Cosmos includes concepts of time and space, darkness and light, spirit and flesh, and all sorts of other mystical things that transcend what we can simply taste, touch, and see. When the word cosmos is used for world, it's far more expansive and extensive than the word gates, which is typically limited to the physical earth around us. So, all this is to say that Jesus means he entered our small, limited, hemmed in world, a world that is hemmed in by gravity and atmosphere and all the limitations, and re-engaged us with the cosmos, the infinite universe beyond the here and now. Jesus prayed, "Glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the cosmos existed." He was asking God the Father to glorify him, or maybe more accurately, to re-glorify him, so that he would have a place among the infinite, where he dwelt before the entire cosmos and even time itself was formed. Nothing existed before the Son of God, and so everything is glorified in the Son when he was glorified out of this earth that we call home. Jesus' prayer is a simple one, but one with profound depth and meaning to it. Now, I hope I don't have you all too confused with all of this. It can be rather mystifying to think about the expanse of the universe and concepts of space and time and all that. If these thoughts leave you reeling a little bit, that's okay. It happens. But I hope that we can all see the significance of what Jesus is saying here. In Christ, we rise above earthly material things and enter the world of the universal, the timeless, the transcendent things. In Christ, we rise above the earthly, the physical, the geis in Greek. And while Jesus came to us in our bound, locked-in, planetary state, he did not stay here with us. Instead, he rose above the limits of the earth and transcended up to the realm of the cosmic universals. He would not be bound here by atmosphere, gravity, or even sinking into the sea when he walked on water. He rose above the limitations of our existence, and in the process, brought the entire world, the entire cosmos with him somehow. Jesus would not be hemmed in or limited in any way, even by death itself, but instead rose above the limitations of our earthly existence in order that all might transcend beyond the cosmos with him. It's miraculous stuff, really. So how might we think about Jesus' transcendent work in our own lives? There are many analogies we can make. One that comes to mind for me this week is through the HBO limited series Band of Brothers. Anybody ever seen that, Band of Brothers? Ah, good one. All right. Band of Brothers is a series about the training and World War II combat experience of the 101st Airborne Unit of paratroopers, from their training in Georgia to when they jumped into Normandy before D-Day, and all the way through when they were part of liberating Austria from the Nazi occupation. Now, rewatching it made me grateful that I have just had to hunker down with very excitable, screaming children, rather than having to dig into a freezing foxhole while being shelled by German artillery in the freezing snow and cold French winters. If you have not seen it, I do recommend it. It is very well done and worth your time. Plus, You may not know this, but the mother of one of the main actors, Ron Livingston, is an ELCA pastor living in Iowa. So I guess that's another bonus. Yeah. Now, the comparison with Band of Brothers and Jesus' transcendent work in his life, death, and resurrection is seen in the experience of the soldiers themselves. As with so many of our fine men and women who have served our nation over the centuries, many of the young men who signed up or were drafted were not raised to be soldiers. Most of them did not go to West Point or the Naval Academy or anything like that. They were not like the ancient Spartans who spent their whole lives training for battle and warfare. They were farmers. They were gas station attendants, carpenters, cab drivers, mechanics, and dock workers. At home, their lives and their work were fairly ordinary and peaceful. For most of them, nobody would have ever written books, movies, or HBO miniseries about their lives in the United States if the war had never happened. They went to school, went to work, got married, and carried on in more or less normal ways. But then, after Pearl Harbor, they were called up and they rose to the occasion in unexpected and admirable ways. In a few years' time, men who struggled to graduate high school were transformed into one of the greatest fighting forces our nation has ever assembled. They put aside their plans for the future, their jobs, and many of them, as we remember tomorrow, put aside their very lives and sacrificed for the sake of greater aspirations of peace and freedom in our world. Those who had lived small, limited lives were transformed into fighting men who put aside their own pursuits for the sake of others. And I believe we are better off for their sacrifice. Similarly, life has a way of drawing us out of our little boxes to push us to care for things and people other than ourselves. When natural disasters strike, I'm always amazed at the response of people who set aside their time and their money and just run to help those who have lost everything and help them put their lives back together. When a student goes to college and is pushed to grow in their understanding, knowledge, and perspective of the world, it is amazing to see how they transcend the limits of their own limited views and connect with the wider world through study. When parents suffer through weeks without sleep, stress over their children's livelihood, and sacrifice their own time and desires for sake of the lives that they care for, it is miraculous to see the strength and resilience that God has placed within them for such a sacred task, as difficult as it can be. Especially parents of twins. Props to Scott and Anna's parentage. Or daughters. These are analogies to the far greater work that Christ did for us. Though he was already glorified with God the Father in heaven, the Son of God set aside his glory, descended to our small, little, limited earth, and transcended to the cosmos and beyond once again. He set aside any thought or concern for his own well-being or his own glory, so that all of us who dwell on earth might transcend the limits of our existence with him. The sacrifice he made for our sakes transformed the earth and brought resurrection to the entire cosmos. And this resurrection has been expanding our worlds ever since. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.